This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Anybody that's got a prophetic word that they would like to share, you're welcome to come forward. We're going to remain in worship. We're not going to sit down now. Is there anybody that's got a prophetic word that they would like to share?
People, sometimes we just get overwhelmed by problems, the onslaughts of Satan. And I just want to give you this verse in 2 Chronicles 20, where God says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
Amen. I'll be still and know. Isaiah 35 says, "And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall pass over it, and it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you, Lord. And I just saw like a railway track that on the left there's a track, on the right there's a track. And I just sense that as we go through life, it sometimes feels that there's no track, or the track is missing. But I just sense that the Lord is saying that He's in the middle of that track, and we can search for Him in the middle of that track. And as we search for Him in the middle, He will come, He will lead us, and He will show us.
Just want to share one word. Gina asked this morning about sharing testimony about your salvation. I was just reminded about the very first words that I've ever heard in my life that Jesus spoke to me, and it was the words, "Jesus cannot disappoint." Just feeling this morning when there's an unmet expectation in your life, where it feels that there's misalignment between where you think your life should be going. I just want to, just again this morning, sitting there hearing it again, "Jesus cannot disappoint." And instead of trying to make it work ourselves, just come in alignment with where Jesus wants, because that's a false. It's like we get disappointed in ourselves and we get disappointed in the Lord, but Jesus cannot disappoint. We just bring ourselves in alignment with Him and with His will.
Amen. Thank you. Is there Is there anybody that would like to share a testimony? This morning we're going to share a couple of testimonies. But if you've got on your heart a testimony that you'd like to share, you're more than welcome to join in as we're going to share some testimonies of the God of God's goodness.
Morning, church. Yeah, I hadn't prepared to share, but just this morning the Lord laid this on my heart, and I just asked Him to confirm that this morning. And that first song that spoke about your restoration and new life and hope in the Lord just confirmed what I was going to say. This is the first Sunday in spring, and spring represents new life and new awakening. And it's the same as we'd say, the darkness of winter is replaced by the beauty of spring. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. We go through so much stuff, but the Lord does promise new life and restoration. And I just had one thought on my mind. My husband and I have started a new cell group, and just going back many, many years, after I left school, I went to study to be a teacher, and in my third year, life happened, and everything fell apart, and I started suffering from severe depression, and I had to give up my career. But I just brought that back to mind recently, because I think the first time we had cell group and had a share, and I could just feel that teacher in me coming out again, and it was so nice. And even last week, somebody in cell group said, when I did a demonstration, we had a bucket of water and a sponge, and we were teaching about soaking in the presence of God and increasing our intimacy with the Lord. And just as that water, that sponge gets saturated and permeated with the water, so we spend more time in the presence of God. He saturates us more with His Holy Spirit. And somebody commented and said, "Oh, are you a teacher?" So I just thank the Lord. When I was 21, the enemy robbed me of my confidence through many of life's things that I went through. And it took 24 years before the Lord restored that about 9 years ago. And and now it's almost like, the Lord's put me in that place again when He's brought to life what was in my heart years ago as a career. And I just thank the Lord that He does restore. And just to speak to anybody who's going through any difficulties, do not give up hope. He is our restorer. He brings new life just as spring does. And look to the Lord. He will bring you out of that darkness of winter so that you can see the beauty of spring.
Amen. That's so powerful. Anybody else that would like to share testimony?
Be obedient. I wasn't going to do anything. I never had any plans, but good stuff this morning. We were in the kitchen chatting and just a whole lot of us sharing and about God's goodness, and He said, "I have to share." And just listening to this morning is just confirming I need to share. I've got the privilege and the honor of facilitating two Breaking Free groups, and it's just been an awesome, awesome journey. And when we started, I was given this group of broken women, and in both groups, and I just came to realize how broken this world is. And I don't think there's any of us that doesn't have something in our life of brokenness or heartache or something that hurts. And I remember after the first week, one of the women said to me, because it's a Bible study, and the first week one of the ladies said to me, "I don't want to be funny, but I don't understand how this is going to set us free," looking at the homework. And the beauty of this course is it's all about God, and it's all God that does it, because we get together, we watch a DVD, and we don't share about our stuff unless we want to, but it's just we get together and pray, and then we go. And then we're doing it every second week because it's a lot of work. And it's intensive work, just you and God with your Bible. And she leads you through scripture. And last week was week 7. And I just sat and I looked around the room. And I just saw this group of completely different women. I said, you girls are growing. It's just amazing how soft and the eyes are shining. And I can just see how God is working. But God alone gets the glory, because it's nothing that any of us are doing. It's not the DVD. It's not the group. It's not us praying for each other. It's God. It's the work that they're doing, sitting alone with God and their Bible. And that is what I want to encourage each one of you with today. It takes that effort. I was sharing this morning about how the Lord healed Gavin's knees. And Anton actually said yes. But you see, that's the thing. Gavin had to step out in faith. He had to take that step on the beach and test, is what God is telling me he's going to do, is he doing it? And he had to take those steps on the sand to realize God had healed his knees. And in the same way, every single one of these women that has joined Breaking Free had to take that step. They saw, they're tired. We all, Gavin and I, are exhausted at night. But I can tell you, the Lord is my strength, because the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we give, the more time we step out in faith, the more we are strengthened, and the more we have joy, and the more we have peace. So every one of those women had to take that step of boldness and come. They need to, they're tired, they're busy, but they've got to take that step and sit with their Bible and do that homework. And God is blessing them day after day. He's restoring them and he's healing them. And so I just want to give all the glory to God, but I just want to encourage you to take that step of faith. Don't allow the enemy to rob you. Don't allow him to just oppress you and make you feel there is no hope, because there's always hope, but the hope alone is in Jesus.
I just want to share me and my wife's testimony as well. The Lord has blessed us with the house, and transfer happened on the 3rd of August. And is anyone getting something new? Very excited. I rocked up at the house, and walking in there, I say, oh, okay, nothing is packed. What's going on here? And the guy refused to move out. So trying to be kind, I said, okay, you can have a week, and after that, please move out. And the agent told me, listen, you're setting yourself up for failure, because it takes about 3 months if you want to go the legal route and a lot of finances, etc., etc. That checked me a bit. And while I was praying the one morning, the Lord gave me a word and says, do not conform to the ways of the violent. I said, okay, that's a funny word, but okay, thank you, Lord. Let's move on. Then I had to go to Johannesburg. We had to give a big presentation, a bit nervous, give it, went well. That evening when I was driving home, I got relieved of my cell phone by the traffic light, me and my two colleagues, by gunpoint. And during this time, I just remained calm and just gave all the stuff, the word of do not conform to the ways of the violent. Not that I remembered it in the moment, but gave, and everyone was unarmed, and we just left. And afterwards, sitting in the hotel, I just started praying. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for several hours. And during this time, I just got fired up and I called those souls into heaven. And while I was praying, I just felt the Lord tell me, it's been such a long time since anyone has prayed for those men. It just made me realize how important it is to sit still with the Lord. Because one of two things would have happened. Either I would have said, oh, the enemy has done this and this and this, and I would not have seen God as the one being in control. Or I can see God in his mysterious ways let something happen. For whichever reason, I don't know. But I know that God is in control. So I get home on Saturday when I'm going to see my unfortunate tenant situation again, trusting that he's going to move out. And I get there and nothing has changed. He's just still in the house, sitting there. And now he has some friends with him, staying there. I'm like, okay, oh boy. So we say, okay, listen, this is going to go the lawyer route, and we move on. And getting home, one of my good friends, he's a missionary from Nigeria, he came and he shared the story of my wife and my father-in-law, of a pastor in his hometown that couldn't let go of the church. And it went to such a way that all the numbers were diminishing. Everything went really bad. And he took time, he went and sat with the Lord, and he really prayed, and he made it a prayer project. And during this time, the Lord revealed to him that there were spiritual soul ties between this pastor and the church. And he showed it in three animal pictures to him. And my friend Adi, he prayed about it, and the next morning, the pastor came, handed the keys over to his son that was to follow up, and he left and was gone. And this really resonated with me. And we sat as a family and we prayed against any spiritual soul ties holding that poor man back because he doesn't know Jesus. We prayed it and we cut it off. And that night the Lord gave me a word saying, "Wees rustig en wag tot maandag." And now I'm sitting there, okay, I want to go check on Sunday again, but okay, Lord. And the next morning, my father-in-law also spent time with Jesus, and he got the word, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's the reason why I decided to come forward. So we said, okay, thank you, Jesus. We're waiting. So now I try to keep my mind clear. Every time the enemy comes with some kind of thought and so on, I take it captive. Monday morning, I get to the house, and there's this big truck, and everyone is just backing up and moving out, and everything was cleared up by just afternoon on Monday. And I'm just so encouraged just to know, be still and know that I am God, that I am in control. No matter what the enemy tries to show or tries to prove, if it comes via gunpoint or whatever, know he's in control. And to spend time with Jesus and get those warnings, get those words, so the word can bear fruit of righteousness. So, yeah, I just want to encourage everyone, time with Jesus, it's your best investment ever.
We can see that that stillness and that knowing has flowed through to Anandi because she's just sitting so still. She's so beautiful. Hey, sweetest little one.
Good morning. I just want to share something. This morning in this session, we were praying and we were just getting quiet, and the Lord just laid on my heart joy and peace. And as we were in this morning with the kids up front and we were praying and we were singing and things, I just felt the peace and the joy of the Lord come over me, and also His warmth and comfort. And it was just bringing tears to my eyes. And Jesus just came and He said to me, "I'm these things and more: hope, strength, direction, protector, restorer." And this morning, as people were just testifying, it's just so awesome when they were talking about that He's the restorer and so many other things. And then I also just said that now I made you feel these things again in this morning to remind you of who I am. Stop searching in the world for these things. Come and be with me, and I'll give you all and you and even more than you need. Listen to my command, old, new, it has never changed. Just love. Why love? Because that is all that I am. So I just wanted to encourage you guys, same to, as he said now, as shared, just if you want to feel God, just become quiet with Him, and He will restore you. He'll build you up, and He'll give you all those things that you need. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, I actually have a huge testimony, and I feel, yeah, today is the right time. And yeah, I just want to testify of the Lord's goodness, the power of His restoration in our lives. A while back, about 2 years back, my home was very lonely. I have three children. We have three children. And yeah, we were quite lonely for a while, and the house I felt that my house needed healing, and the Lord just showed me every time that He will send His priest, He will heal my home. And then the Lord sent Harad into my life and into my children's life, and my whole house has been healed by the goodness of the Lord, by His power, by His glory. And the Lord has come and restored me and the children and my house. And it's just, the Lord is so good. And I saw, this is the biggest restoration ever that I've experienced. And just that kids have a father again. And yeah, I just wanted to survive that. The Lord is good.
Morning, church. Eugene said 5 minutes. Starting. Well, Eugene asked me to speak about the HSBC, but I'm going to change it a little bit, Eugene. Just, I also want to tell them about the goodness of God. He's so good, you have to say it twice. He's good, good. We have a good, good Father. So my story started in a men's camp, got saved there. Then I got really challenged in this church, whereby I had to deal with some issues which I had in my heart. And I was also delivered from those issues. Eugene and Gustav prayed for me. It was a difficult one for me. I got hurt by a number of people, and I'm going to call them by name now, white people. And I had to deal with those white people. The Lord has a sense of humor. He sent me a whole bunch of white people to love me, hug me, blatantly just invite me, you will be in my cell. A white man just says, "Ah, where? Who's it, my bro? You know, I'm feeling you. I'm feeling, always feeling you. They didn't like Eugene." So funny. And so I checked, okay, I'm going to test these white people the Lord has placed into my life. And then I met awesome people like Gerard. There's my small group there as well. And then I realized this is real. This is so real that I'm no more rooting for the All Blacks. Because remember, we were taught from a young age, you'll be an All Black, you're a Kiwi, and now we're Springboks and we're really excited about it. Fast forward to the HSBC, this was one of the challenges the Lord placed on my heart, but not only on my heart, I had to take it back to the family. Because remember, your ministry involves your family as well. And it's a very complex thing, but it's easy when your wife releases you to go. And she says, "Seamus, go. It's Monday evening. I'll deal with the poop nappies and I'll deal with Nikolai's emotions here, but you go. And you go and minister to those guys." And the Lord made it easy for me. He sent me resources and people to assist me. Once again, Eugene, every now and then Gerard is there. Gustav also visited us a while. My small group, the men. So I really want to encourage you guys, because that was prophesied over my life, that I encourage people. So I had to bounce the prophecy off other people and test what God has placed into my heart and has spoken over my life. So I had to go out to the shelter, not knowing what to do, but trusting God, really taking that step out in faith. Going there, all of these eyes looking at you, and I don't have all the answers. My papa is groot, hy is groot. Ek het nie antwoorde nie, maar hy, as hy ingetrede, dinge kom reg, dinge verander. And guys, I want to encourage you guys. You can ask Louis. Louis has also been there. Even his wife has joined us. Come and see for yourself there. I'm not advertising. I want you to come and experience when people minister to you. As toch net een iets wat ek wil sê. Die ouens stel hulle altyd voor. They would always say, "I am a street person," or "I'm part of the street people." And dan sal Johan hulle altyd stop. And Johan would say the following: "We're all children of God. The circumstances and decisions we made led that we stay on the street. There's no drug addicts. There's a child of God, but there's someone that abuses a substance or alcohol, etc., etc." So I want to encourage you guys, share your testimonies. There's a platform also at the HSBC to come and share your testimonies, and even here at church. I want to encourage you guys. There's been prophesied over my life, and I'm loving what was prophesied over me. I'm tasting it now. Thanks, Eugene.
Good morning. I was just the whole morning reminded of a word Fred
bought a couple of years ago on memorial stones. And I think today, a lot of us will not share your testimony, but as you know, what a memorial stone is basically something you remember. And I was just reminded of the scripture where, I'm just going to tell a story, where they were, Joshua and the people, they went into the promised land, but the first thing God asked them to do was to place memorial stones there, 12, one for each tribe. And then Joshua said, what will be the purpose is your children will ask one day. They will ask you, and then we will tell them that is where God let the river Jordan dry up. And so each one of us, we have a testimony, a lot of memorial stones in your lives. And those are very important before we go into the promised land. Because in the promised land, everything will not be sugar and coat. It's going to be difficult. And I'm just saying that is a principle. And we will remind one another of what God did in your life. For our own family, we have in our tribe, we have a memorial stone. In 1943, my grandmother was pregnant with a twin. And in those years, they didn't know about, you know, there was nothing. It was 1943. And my uncle was born on the 7th of September. And after he came, the doctor said, but my grandmother, she was this size. And the doctor said, but there's a problem because she was very sick. And he said, there's another one on the way. But she was so weak after the first one already. And he said to her, I think we must let this one go. And my grandmother said, I shall leave her. Four days later, my dad was born. When I tell a story to doctors, they get starry eyes. They can't imagine it. In 1943, no doctor, just a mother, what do they call it? A midwife. A midwife, and 4 days in that, and my grandmother and my dad survived, and they didn't survive, they overcame. And that was our testimony in our family always, the power of the word, yes, so deliver. And that is what God is speaking of us. And this is what we can remind one another. We have memorial stones. I mean, in Jesus, we have these memorial stones. We have the cross, but we have an empty grave. And these are our memorial stones. It is so powerful. And daily, God is taking us through this. Every time we come to a place of, you know, a memorial stone is negative. Something died. Something of you stayed behind there. And our memorial stone is Jesus. But you know, what is the answer out of that? He's alive. And that is our testimony. And this testimony that the devil can never steal from us. Never. He can steal everything. He can steal your job. He can steal your children. He can steal a lot of things. He can steal. But your testimony, never, never, never. And that is what we will need in the times to come. If we are the people who is going to take in the promised land, that is our mindset. And we will need these memorial stones for our children. So go and write them down and start thanking God. I can't tell you how many times in my life I was in a negative point, and then I just went through all of my memorial stones where God came through for me. There's so many other areas. This is just one where God came through for us, and that is what life is all about. There's memorial stones. So, and when you go through difficult times, like Simon said, get other people around you. But God is busy forming a memorial stone. I'm sure this one for Ilse is a memorial stone for her. The devil came and he wanted to steal her life, her brain and everything. And God came through because he's God. But we are the people of God and we stand together in this. Amen.
Morning, It's just amazing for me, the songs that you've been singing this morning. How great is our God? And I can just testify this morning that our God is great. He's faithful, He's good, He's almighty, and He enables us to do whatever He calls us to do. And so this morning, I just want to testify about what God has done in my life. In 2011, I was busy working at the church office, and I knew that there was a time when that season was going to end, because I actually, I'm a clinical psychologist. I first was a teacher, and then I went and studied again, and then I became a clinical psychologist, and I had my own practice. And so when that season, the day that that season ended, the 30th of September, that very next morning, I don't often have dreams that I know is from God, but I had this dream. I just knew it was God speaking to me. It was a very symbolic dream. It took quite a while for me to figure out what God actually wanted to say to me through that dream. And eventually I realized that God wanted me to write a book. Now, just to give you a bit of background is, even though I was an English teacher, even to high school kids, even though I'd always loved reading and read a lot of books, and even though I had honors in English, I'm not a writer. Or I was not a writer. I don't have the gift of writing. It was really difficult for me to do my master's thesis. I'm very good at seeing, you know, where other people make mistakes, but I'm not good at writing myself. And so when I said yes to God, I just knew that every day it would have to be a step of faith. It would have to be, God, you have to do this through me. And then the minute I said yes to God, the very next morning He gave me the book, the name of the book, Named by God. And He gave me the whole outline, and I knew exactly what God wanted me to write about. And what I want to also testify about this morning is that everything in our lives is actually a preparation for where God wants to take us. Even the most insignificant things. So for my case, My name is Desiree, and my surname is Louis. So from grade one, I had to explain my name. I had to correct spelling, pronunciation. People sometimes called me Deirdre instead of Desiree. So names were also always an issue for me, something that I had to pay attention to. And that's why whenever I read the Bible, names always jumped out at me, and the way God interacts with names. And the other way in which God prepared me for writing this book is, number one, being a teacher means I'm very detailed focused. I even read the footnotes at the back of people's books. I read all the footnotes at the bottom of the Bible, study Bibles. I read all the little numbers, everything in between. No details escape me. So that was, God would need that for me to write this book. Secondly, being a psychologist means that I learned how to do research. What is good research? What is bad research? The importance of giving credit for the person that you use. And the third, and how to think analytically. And the third thing that God used is that I love His word. And I hear this has come out quite a lot this morning. So I think God is trying to really, really get this message through. You need to read the word. Because I've been reading the Bible daily, right through the Bible since about 1990, every year. And it was important for this book that I did that. Because by the time it started coming to write it, God could highlight every scripture He wanted me to use, and I didn't have to go and search. I knew exactly what God wanted me to use. So I just want to encourage you, look at your life, the things that God has placed in your life, even things that you think, why does such this issue irritate me or seem such an issue for me and it's not for other people's, because God wants to use it. And then once I said yes to God, every single day faithfully, He would give me the words to write. And yes, there was a lot of hard work from my part, but God did it. And then He provided for me someone who could do the cover. She did it for free. Someone who offered to do the proofreading, and she did it at a very lowered price. And then she also had the ability to do the layout for me. And then another friend of ours, mine, they blessed me with 15,000 rand out of the blue. I was just so shocked, actually. And so I just want to talk a bit about why God wanted me to write this book. And that is also what's so amazing. It's about how special our names are and what the meaning is behind our names and what that means for our identity and our destiny and our calling. And the minute God gave me the book, part of when you do research, you're supposed to do something that no one else has done before. Or if you repeat something, it's to prove that the previous person's research is valid. So when I started looking for Christian books on personal names, there was nothing the way that I wrote it. When I looked in psychology, there was almost nothing. So I realized God wanted this book to be out there, a book like this to be out there. And so then it was really like groundbreaking work in the sense that God, and it was this, and when Heinrich also last year started speaking about Daniel and about his name and about our identity, I just knew. I already, all the things that Heinrich was saying, I already had it in my book. And so I was so impatient. I mean, from every year, I thought this year the book is going to be published. So that's another thing God is, wants to tell some people this morning, God's timing. Because when I turned 50, I thought, okay, my book is going to be published the day I turned 50. And it wasn't ready yet. And then Christmas, it wasn't ready. The next year and the next year. And finally, on my birthday, when I turned 52, the books were delivered to my door. So it was my birthday present from God. And and since it's come out, it's just for me so amazing, the feedback I get from people. My mom's part of a prayer group at her church, and their prayer leader bought three books and told the whole prayer group they have to read it. And my books are in the Boermeis in Stellenbosch, and I just had my book launch on Friday night provided by my sister-in-law. She did all the hard work and the catering, and it's just so amazing. And so the book is about your personal name, whether it's you've had good experiences or bad experiences. But what God also wanted to show through this book is that He wants to redeem everything. Even like if you believe, like Seamus was saying, no, your name is not street person. That is just some challenge you're having in life. Your name is, you're a child of God, but then your personal name, there's something, there's a key in that. There's a treasure in that. That God wants to, it's like a treasure chest that He wants to open up and reveal to you these treasures. This is how this book has been written. It takes you through this journey. You have to journey with God and the Holy Spirit. And as you journey with Him, along the way, you will discover these treasures that God just wants to say, yeah, I want to bless you with this. This is how I see you. This is your identity. This is your calling. This is your purpose. This is your destiny. And God wants to restore everything that the locust has stolen. And He did it in my life. Even I'm now reading through the book a second time. And things I thought, okay, I'm writing these scriptures now. This one chapter starts with these three scriptures. And I thought, one day someone's going to read these scriptures just at the right time, at the right season. It's going to mean something to them. And that person was me, number one. When I read it again, I just knew there was a change in season again for me, and I just needed to read those scriptures again. So I just want to encourage you with some scriptures. I just felt that God wants to say to a few people through this, what has been leading me through. And the one is what we've read about the Word. You know, know. So one of the things that God said to me is the way in which this book has been written is the way I think, and this is for somebody with this in mind. Luke is speaking to Theophilus. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. God wants you to know the certainty of what that prophecy that, like Seamus said, that he's already given you, that prophecy over your name. He wants you to know the certainty of it and whatever word he's given you. And then the other thing he told me, that this is also for someone this morning, desire without knowledge is not good. And my name actually means desire, so it's so weird. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? In other words, another translation says zeal without knowledge. So I had the zeal, but I had to go and do the research, and I do not be hasty. I had to wait God's time, otherwise I would have missed the way. And then Philippians says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. So just as he started the book, God had to remind me over and over and over again, he's faithful to complete it, because there were days I really thought, I don't know how am I going to complete this book. I don't know how am I going to get it finally edited and printed and all that. But God kept on promising me, he is the Alpha and the Omega. So if he begins something, he will complete it. He's faithful to do that. And finally, I also, just as was shared this morning by Debbie, that every single one of us has been through trauma. I've been through the trauma of a divorce and the desire to be a mother, which I've never been. And those have been painful things that I've had to work through in my own life. But God has used all of that, as Paul says here. So I wanted to encourage someone with that also as well. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And my book ends with a prayer for salvation, because that was my ultimate, that's always been my ultimate, and for all of us, that people will get to know their Savior, and through that, their identity in Him. And so far, two of my family members that are not saved have bought this. My aunt and her second husband. I've got an old school friend that I know is not saved that bought it, and also an ex-colleague of mine that's a Muslim. And she doesn't actually know what's waiting for her. She just saw the name and she likes me, so she wanted to buy the book, but I don't know what she's going to do when she sees all these scriptures. I don't know if she's going to burn the book or what she's going to do, but anyway, one day she doesn't have an excuse because she has been given word. So I just want to pray for us just around these words. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've been speaking to many of us this morning about having to get into your word, because without that, we go to either get into danger, or we're going to miss your destiny for us, or we're just going to miss intimacy with you, Lord. The most important of all, we're not going to know you. So, Father, I pray that you'll give us the grace, Lord, and that desire, that hunger, truly to spend that time in your word. I pray this morning, Father, that you would reveal to each person their God-given identity, how wonderfully you've made them, Lord, how wonderful their names are, Lord. Father, I also want you to show them, Father, what are those things that you've already placed in their lives that are the keys to their calling and their purpose and their destiny, Lord. And I want every person, Father, that's been through hurt, Lord, that you redeem that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you redeem it for your kingdom and to your honor, Lord, and to your glory, that you transform it. The enemy is meant for evil, Father, that you take it, Lord, and you transform it and you use it for your kingdom, Lord, so that we will celebrate, Lord. We celebrate this morning how great is our God. In Jesus' name.
Hello, everyone. For those who don't know me, I'm Kirby, and I'm a foster mom to two little cute kids running around. When Eugene asked me to share this, I don't want to repeat myself, but I felt that there's one part that the Lord really wanted me to share, and it's about my family and when I started walking this journey. I don't know who of you were here when they were dedicated, but my mom was here and she was standing next to me. And when I first started walking this journey and the Lord told me to go and speak to my family in 2015, I was fasting for a few days before that, and the Lord said to me very specifically that He was going to use this journey to bring revival in my family. And my family know the Lord, they just have a different conviction to me. And on the plane, on the way to the to my family, I can't remember if I've shared this before, but I'm going to share quickly. I read a little book, and in the book, a guy spoke about, he was a missionary and he was about to go out. And in the book, it read, bravely but very afraid, I say goodbye to Cape Town and I'm on my way to face this new challenge that's being set before me. And when I read it, I thought that's exactly how I felt. And when I was sitting in the plane was completely full and just the seat next to me was empty. And then I continued reading in the book and it said, the guy said he felt so lonely and he didn't know. He said to God, God, where are you? And then God said to him, look around you. The plane is completely full. The only empty seat is the seat next to you, and it was reserved for me, and I will never leave you, and I'm next to you. And I just found myself in exactly the same situation. God was next to me, and the seat was empty. And just before I left to go to my family, I was cleaning up my room, and a letter fell out of my bookshelf, and I'd never seen it before, and I tried to figure out which book it fell out of, but I didn't know where it came from. And when I opened it, it was my dad's handwriting, and he passed away in 2007. And when I read the letter, it was about, he spoke about Moses and Gideon and Joshua, and all three of them had, it was basically a speech he wrote to the elders in the church. And he was just encouraging the elders in the church, and he said to them, in all three of those cases, the Lord asked people to do something and they were very afraid, but God said to them, don't be afraid, I will be with you. And then I just felt God, in the end my dad wrote and he said, when God calls you for something, you never say no, you always, always say yes. So I was very encouraged and I was very psyched up, and I knew the Lord was with me when I went. And then when I shared with my family, it completely backfired, and it was really very tough because they know the Lord, but they just feel and believe differently to me about a lot of stuff, about me doing this as a single person and about me doing this for people of a different race. It's just a very difficult thing for them to understand. And I can honestly say 2 years later, I didn't think my mom was going to stand here next to me. And the Lord said to me after that, He said to me that I might have to walk away from my family for a while if I want to be obedient to Him. But He promised me it will be like for Job. He will restore over and above of what I had to lose if I walk in obedience with Him. And I can, it's so amazing for me to see this. So when my mom, the other thing that the Lord was really faithful, then I was only supposed to start fostering in August. But then they phoned me in the middle of July and they asked me if I could take the two children. And my mom was scheduled to come and visit me the last week of July, because I said to her, if you want to come and visit, then I start in August, so then you have to come in July. So then the children came a week before my mom arrived. But it was just so amazing how faithful God is, because my mom completely changed. And she's so supportive. And she speaks to them. When she speaks to them over the phone, and she calls herself Oma. And she's just so amazing how the two children just changed her heart. And the other very difficult part was my brother-in-law. Just very difficult for him to understand. And through the years, they've changed as well their opinion and what they feel about this. And he phoned me after my mom was here, and he said to me, he can really see that I did this in faith, because they were really hoping that I was going to get these two difficult children, that I will just say goodbye to this idea. But now my mom comes back and she tells them how amazing these children are and how obedient they are. And they just want to see that they can really see it's God working in our family. So I just want to testify about that, that God is really good and he's really faithful.
Thank you. Wow. Really amazing to hear every testimony. We're going to end off in worship. If there are any of you that would like prayer afterwards, you are welcome to join. And we're going to pray with you. And through everything that was shared this morning, it's just so powerful to see that even through it all, we can be still and know the Lord. And this morning, may each one of us be still and know that He is God and that He is in control. Won't you stand with me?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.